Lysander cleared his throat, blew his nose, apologized to the rest of the cast, and picked up his play script once more. The doors and windows were wide open, so the room, Lysander reasoned, would have almost as much summer pollen blowing around in it as the garden outside, hence his sneezing fit. He could see Gilda Butterfield at the far end of the long table, fanning her moist neck with her fingertips. Flaming June, all right, he thought, and his mind turned immediately to Blanche. Her prediction had been absolutely right. The play was an enduring and superlative success, and she was off on an endless tour of it. Where now? Dublin, he thought. Or was it Edinburgh? Yes, he really ought to try and...
Ready when you are, Lysander,
Rutherford Davison said. Lysander noticed he still had his jacket on, while all the other men had shed theirs because of the heat. He picked up the text. You must lay down the treasures of your body, to this supposed or else to let him suffer. What would you do? Davison held up his hand.
Why do you imagine he says that?
Because he's frustrated, consumed with lust, and he's bitter, Lysander said, without really thinking.
Bitter?
He's a disappointed man.
He's an aristocrat. He's running the whole of Vienna.
Vienna's no protection against bitterness. Everyone laughed, Lysander was pleased to note, even though he hadn't intended to be humorous at all, and had spoken with unconscious feeling. He had completely forgotten that Measure for Measure was set in Vienna. This strange play about lechery and purity, moral corruption and virtue, that made him think uncomfortably about the place and his recent history there. Too late to back out now, and he could hardly explain why. Davison hadn't even smiled at his inadvertent sally, however. He was determined to be combative and provocative, Lysander could tell, following the new lead among theatre managers. He and Greville had discussed how tiresome and unnecessary this trend was just last night.
"We'll call it a day," Davison said, as if he sensed how stifling and uncomfortable it was to be sitting here late on a Friday afternoon. "Have a restful weekend. We'll make a start on Miss Julie on Monday."
The rehearsal broke up in a chatter of exultant conversation and the sound of chairs scraping back. They were in a church hall in St. John's Wood, a good rehearsal space with a small garden at the rear when some fresh air was required. The International Players' Company, as they were known, had been formed by Rutherford Davison himself in an attempt, as he put it, to present the best in foreign drama to the sated and complacent London audiences. It was quite a clever plan, Lysander had to admit, taking his jacket off the back of the chair. The idea was to run an established, well-respected play in a repertory double bill with a new, more challenging foreign one. Last season's offering had been a Galsworthy, The Silver Box, alongside Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard. This season they were presenting Measure for Measure with Strindberg's Miss Julie, or rather, Fröken Julie, as Davison insisted, thinking the foreign title would hoodwink the censor. Apparently the play had been banned in 1911. Davison had acquired a new translation from an American company and thought that the Swedish title might divert attention from its salacious reputation. Lysander hadn't read Miss Julie yet, but he was planning to do so this weekend, if time permitted. His role was Jean, the valet, something of a challenge because he was also Angelo in Measure. He and Gilda Butterfield were the most experienced actors in the International Players, so he should be flattered, he supposed, and if the plays were well received it would advance his career and reputation significantly. All very well, he thought, but if Davison kept goading him it might not be as stimulating a job as he'd imagined.
Any plans this weekend?
Lysander turned to see Gilda Butterfield, Miss Julie herself, and Isabella in Measure.